Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY26 earnings call for Vimta Labs Limited, hosted by Systematix Institutional Equities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vishal Manchanda. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sasha. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Systematix Institutional Equities, I welcome you to the Q2 FY26 earnings call of Vimta Labs. We thank the Vimta management for giving us an opportunity to host the call. Today, we have with us the senior management of the company, represented by Ms. Harita Vasireddi, Managing Director, Mr. Satya Sreenivas Neerukonda, Executive Director, Mr. Siva Ramakrishna, Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Sujani Vasireddi, Company Secretary. I'll now hand over the call to the company management for opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, moderator. Good evening and a warm welcome, everyone, to Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings call of Vimta Labs Limited. Please note that the investor presentation and the financial results are available on the company website and the stock exchanges. Also, anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for the future or which could be perceived as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risks that the company faces. The conference call is being recorded, and the transcript, along with audio of the same, will be made available on the website of the company as well as on the stock exchanges. Please also note that the audio of the conference call is the copyright material of Vimta Labs Limited and cannot be copied, rebroadcast, or attributed in the press or media without specific and written consent of the company. From the management, we have with us Ms. Harita Vasireddi, Managing Director, Mr. Satya Sreenivas Neerukonda, Executive Director, Mr. Sivaramakrishna Kambhampati, Chief Financial Officer, Ms. Sujani Vasireddi, Company Secretary. Now, I request Ms. Harita Vasireddi, Managing Director of Vimta Labs Limited, to provide you with the update for the quarter and half-year ended 30th September 2025. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Siva. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining our Q2 and H1 financial year 26 earnings call today. We will start with a brief business update, and then our CFO will take over to discuss the financial highlights for the period ended 30th September 2025. I'm very delighted to share that Vimta Labs has recorded highest-ever quarterly sales revenue, crossing a mark of 100 crores with rupees 104.5 crores, making an upward shift of 22.3% on a year-on-year basis. This growth is a result of hard work by the entire Vimta team. Pharmaceutical research and testing and food testing services are the major contributors to revenue growth, and these services continue to perform well in this quarter as well, while electronics and electrical testing and environmental testing services maintain steady performance. With technological advancements, tightening quality norms, and the rapid growth of the wellness sector, the spotlight on product quality and safety has never been stronger. Equipped with the cutting-edge testing infrastructure and deep domain expertise, Vimta stands ready to harness emerging opportunities across pharmaceuticals, nutraceuticals, food testing, etc. Our pharmaceutical testing services continue to demonstrate strong performance this quarter, driven by sustained demand from both the domestic and international clients. We are happy to report that the clinical research division went through a successful WHO audit, reflecting our commitment to maintain strong quality and compliance in our operations. Our food testing division experienced good growth during the quarter. The electrical and electronics division delivered a stable performance. We have commenced operations with the new testing chamber installed at our life sciences facility. With this capacity expansion, we are ready to drive growth from this segment as well in the coming quarters. With respect to our biologics contract research and development services, I wish to update that the project is on schedule. Majority of the equipment and important reagents have been ordered. The facility will be ready by the end of third quarter, post which we will take up qualifications of the area and equipment. So at this point of time, we are confident of commercializing these services by Q1 of financial year 2027. With this, I would like to hand over back the call to Siva for him to discuss the financials.
Thank you, Ms. Harita. A very good evening once again, everyone. We appreciate you taking the time to join our Q2 and H1 financial year 2025-26 earnings call. I will begin by presenting an overview of our financial performance for the quarter and half year ended September 30, 2025. Following that, we will open the session for questions. Before discussing the financials, I'd like to specify that in light of the divestment of our diagnostics and pathological services business announced on August 30, 2024, the figures for the previous period have been regrouped to enable a like-for-like comparison with the current quarter. I will start with the financial highlights for the quarter. Total income for Q2 FY26 stood at rupees 1,045 million as compared to rupees 854 million in Q2 FY25, up by 22.3% year-on-year. EBITDA stood at rupees 369 million in Q2 FY26 as compared to 306 million in Q2 FY25, up by 20.6% year-on-year. EBITDA margins for the quarter stood at 35.3%. Profit after tax in Q2 FY26 stood at rupees 199 million as compared to rupees 170 million in Q2 FY25, a growth of 17.1% year-on-year. PAT margins for the quarter stood at 19.1%. Basic EPS in Q2 FY26 was rupees 4.5. Coming to half-yearly performance, total income for H1 FY26 was at rupees 2,038 million as compared to rupees 1,610 million in H1 FY25, up by 26.6% year-on-year. EBITDA for H1 FY26 was rupees 723 million as compared to rupees 572 million in H1 FY25, up by 26.4% year-on-year. EBITDA margin stood at 35.5%. H1 FY26 PAT was at rupees 388 million as compared to rupees 309 million in H1 FY25, up by 25.5% year-on-year. PAT margin was at 19%. Basic EPS in H1 FY26 was rupees 8.7. On the balance sheet side, we continue to have net debt-free balance sheet with cash and cash equivalents, including bank balances of rupees 545 million. With that, we can now open the floor for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. I repeat, participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Darshan Javeri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question, sir. Let me congratulations on a good set of numbers, sir. Hello. Hopefully, I'm audible. Hello.
There's a lot of feedback on this.
Yes, you are audible.
Yeah. Hi, sir. So, sir, I just wanted to know that, you know, we've crossed the 100 crore quarterly run rate, sir, So any kind of guidance that you would like to give for this year or next year in terms of revenue and margins?
We don't issue any forward looking numbers.
Okay. Fair enough, sir. Hi, everyone. Sorry. But this run rate that we are at right now, so will we be looking to continue that run rate going forward, or how will the new CapEx that we are investing in, how will that help us grow further, sir?
That question was not very audible to me. Renu, can you take that?
No, even Mike could not hear that.
Hi, sorry. I hope this is better. So I'm saying that, okay, now we've reached a 100 crore run rate. So now going forward, will we have any capacity constraint, or how would we ensure that our growth momentum continues? That's because we're investing in CapEx, right? So how will that kick in, and what kind of an asset turnover do we expect from the new capacities?
There are no capacity constraints at the end stage for the immediate future. Recently, we have taken up expansion of the infrastructure, so the infrastructure is available. The required resources in terms of manpower and equipment will be added as we are able to grow our revenue.
Okay. Fair enough. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Thadavati Sai Surendra, an individual investor.
Hello, sir. Good afternoon. My name is Sai Surendra. I am a retail investor. Congratulations to the management for the strong Q2 performance and the steady growth in momentum. My question is, which service line will support higher growth in the next quarter, pharma testing or clinical sciences or electrical testing? And as the explanation is completed and biological work is processing, can we expect the even the better growth of Q3 or Q4 or financial year 2026?
The growth we expect to continue from the pharmaceutical research and testing services and food services. These two anyway make up the larger portion of our revenue pie.
Okay, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. I repeat, participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Aditya Chheda from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have two questions. First is, if you can elaborate on the utilization of the phase one of the new capacity and the status of the phase two of our new facility, any commercialization timelines that you would want to share? And my second question is on the other expenses where we've seen a slight bump. If you want to elaborate any nature of expenses, perhaps maybe related to starting of the new facility, etc., if you can comment on the nature of these expenses, that would be helpful. Thank you. These are the two questions from me.
Yeah, coming to the first one about utilization, the new facilities that we have created, they are occupied and already commercialized. So we have built these capacities for a long time, a long period. So even going into the next few years, we think as of now that these expanded capacities will suffice and will support the growth that we wish to pursue for the organization. And coming to utilization in the phase one, there also, I think since we have built the phase two, some spaces have opened up there, but every space is more or less earmarked for the kind of activity that we wish to take up. And these spaces we will start using from Q1 of next financial year. Coming to the little spike in other expenses, I think the spike you see is because of the additional travel. We are infusing some energies into the business development overseas. So there you see a little spike in expenses. And probably some, that's all. Yeah.
These are regular fixed costs that we are incurring, mm-hmm. especially increased because of additional BD efforts that we are putting in.
Got it. So if I have to attribute any number to utilization of phase one, it should be adequately utilized at this point of time. And only when phase two comes online, we will see some step growth in revenue, if that understanding is correct.
I wish to correct that. Phase two also is underutilization. Not the entire facility that we have created, but we have already begun using 50 to 60% of the additional space that we have created.
Sure, ma'am. That's it from mine. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, before we move to the next question, I would like to remind the participants to press star and one to ask a question. I repeat, participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Veer Vadera from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
I hope I'm audible.
Yes, sir, you're audible.
We started with the clinical services not long ago, and we also in previous calls have mentioned on the strong pipeline on this side of services. And with the other expenses going up, and you been mentioning that it is majorly for business development purposes. So if you can maybe highlight more on the our pipeline, our conversion, and when do we foresee maybe newer customers or newer orders on the clinical side, and anything on this if you can comment.
Can you take that, Sina?
Yeah. So clinical business is not new for us. We have been doing clinical for the last 33 years now. But what we were doing earlier was mainly healthy volunteer studies. What we initiated 4 years back is doing studies in patient population, which is being done in the hospital setups. And hospital setup does not require any major capex from our side. It is off-site, so it's mainly having the team in place and some regulatory softwares, which are also now available as a service model. So we don't anticipate a lot of capital getting in there.
And sir, from the presentation, we have like incurred almost around 47 crore capex outlay for this quarter. So maybe if you can give some color on, because previously our capex was bifurcated into maybe three portions, like infrastructure, then equipment. So how much of this 46, 47 crore is like spent on equipment funding?
So I would just like to sir, I just want to correct one thing. The 47 crores of outflow is not for the quarter, that is for the half year.
Okay, sorry.
Sir, go ahead.
Other than that, for on the capex.
Thank you very much. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Vishal Manchanda from Systematics Institutional Equity. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Good evening, everyone. My question is with respect to the capex that we are doing. So is this can you kind of, while you would have done this earlier, but I still need some clarity in like how much you are spending on each vertical. So how much on pharma analytics, how much on biologics, how much on clinical research. So if you could break that up.
That's very granular information. Please excuse me, but I won't be able to share that.
Okay, but if you could directionally tell where is the largest capex going within among the verticals?
We have expanded our capacities in pharmaceutical, food, electricals, and electronics testing. So CapEx has been spent on all these three verticals.
Okay. And while we kind of spend on this, spend on CapEx, so is it with the visibility that we spend on, or you have some kind of client contracts that you back up this CapEx with?
If some CapEx is inherent to the capacities that we have added. Like, for example, if you have a building, you may need to spend on the equipment associated with the new space that is created, some of it. Some of it is, of course, because we have the visibility of the pipelines. So there is a play of both here.
Okay. Any update on the JNPT project? Is there a further traction there, and have we reached where we need to be there?
Yes, I would say we have reached where we were expecting to be there.
Okay, so probably we will not see any further growth from JNPT.
As of now, I don't have any such information.
Okay. With respect to exports, so last quarter it was 30%. So is the growth largely, so is more of growth coming from exports, or it is coming from the domestic markets for Vimta?
Both.
So the ratio remains, exports would still be 30% and domestic 70%.
Exports have gone up slightly by, I think, a couple of percent in this quarter.
Okay, okay. And with respect to the biologics business that we are foraying into, we'll be doing cell line development. Is that right, or we'll not be doing the cell line development?
We are having the capabilities being built in to do even cell line development. Any portion of the large molecule development, we are putting in place the capabilities.
Okay. And you also have capabilities on analytical part. You already have those capabilities.
Yes.
And there is a guideline that the USFDA has recently issued, draft guidelines regarding approving biosimilars without clinical trials. Only analytical testing would suffice. So would we have the entire capabilities to kind of do the full package of analytical testing? And is it different for each biologic, or they are broadly the same for all biologics that would?
We have the capability broadly for most of the requirements with respect to analytical. Some could be very product specific. So if that is the case, we can always onboard those technologies. But we have been having analytical capabilities for more than 7-8 years now.
But do we have like relevant kind of experience in terms of servicing clients on those capabilities, and our analytical studies going to the regulator?
Yes, yes. Team is very experienced.
Even on the biologics front?
Yes.
Okay, okay. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Veer Vadera from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the follow-up. Maybe from whatever the capex which we had incurred, and we are anticipating maybe an exit run rate for this financial year for like maybe around 500 crore kind of exit run rate which we are maybe targeting. So, given the current business environment, maybe due to tariffs and all this situation, would we want to reconsider our guidance, or anything maybe you would like to comment?
We are still sticking to that goal that we have taken for ourselves. The tariff situations, I think, are more or less stabilized now, unless something dramatically changes. That's the number that we are still targeting and pushing for.
Got it, ma'am. And ma'am, like for the business split which we were mentioning that maybe exports have gone up a bit. So on the domestic front, like is it what sort of challenges are we currently facing maybe for the segment geographically not to maybe grow at to that extent?
Srini, you want to take that?
Yeah, I think. Can you just repeat your question? Your voice broke while finishing the question.
So I wanted to know more on the analytics because even in the pharma, analytical is majority of our revenue, mainly coupled with preclinical and clinical. But on the domestic business front, maybe if you can throw some light on the business environment as of now, like are we facing any challenges? Because even in the regulatory bodies, there have been some changes where maybe only maybe pre-food, not post-food, only one-time analytical testing has to be done. So there have been some regulatory changes also which have been maybe affecting our business. So wanted to know more on this side of things, like how has the business environment been domestically? Are we facing any challenges maybe due to the regulatory bodies or any changes in regulations? If you can comment on that and maybe give some outlook on the near future, how do we see things to evolve from here? That would be really helpful.
Yeah. So as such, there is no regulation change that we know of. Pre-COVID or post-COVID, the regulations remain the same. So that is not impacting anything either for the manufacturing segment, R&D segment, or for the testing segment. So nothing has changed as of now. And the landscape is good. I mean, the companies are getting more into complex product development. There are new developments in the lines of biologics, peptides, a lot of manufacturing which is happening. Now in India, there are some companies who have set up big pre-clinic centers in the Bangalore region, Hyderabad region, Bombay region. So business is good for them. And when this thing happens, testing for us increases because pre-clinic is done at a different site. Testing for testing, they need independent laboratories. So in general, pharma is growing. I mean, there is no slowdown or anything of that sort. And India being a very big generic player, so there's no impact.
Can we have the next question, please?
Sure. The next question is from the line of Aditya Chheda from InCred Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Can you talk more about the strategic expansion in the biologics segment? If you can lay some outlook for the same. And if you can call out the CapEx estimate number for 2026-2027, that would be helpful. Thank you.
The CapEx that we have planned for biologics this year, we are expecting an outlay of around 25 crore, maybe a similar amount around that range for next year as well. And the strategy is to basically integrate all the services that we have, which is right from preclinical to clinical research and the entire analytical component, and backward integrate it to formulation development for the biologics. So we have all the front-end pieces, which are more expensive part of the development process. The idea is to, with this backward integration, be a provider, one-stop provider for our customers. That's the basic strategy.
Right. And can you call out the total company-level CapEx estimate that you would have planned for 2026-2027?
2026-2027, I don't yet have the company numbers. I know just biologics, we know we are going to spend over a period of 2 years, and that's why I have that breakup. But I will have CapEx numbers for next year only around March time.
Sure, ma'am. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Sameer Palod from OHM Fund Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I'm a little new to the company. Is it possible to just give us a steer on the revenue breakup between the four verticals? Even just broad numbers, which is the, I understand pharma is, but just what is number one, two, three, four for you?
Pharma is number one, wherein we offer preclinical research services, clinical research services, and analytical research and testing services. So that's number
one. And how much would that be of the total revenues approximately?
It will be around 65% of the total revenue.
Okay.
And then food comes next. This is around 20% food testing.
Okay.
And the remainder two services are quite small. We call them environmental testing services and electronics testing. So they are the remainder.
Environment and electronics are the smaller ones. And from a margin perspective, overall company level is 35%. Would like pharma and food be significantly higher and electronics and environment be slightly lower? Would that be a fair understanding?
More or less, I think they're all fairly close to each other, except barring maybe environment where the margins are not that great. But otherwise, the margins are more or less similar because there is a mix of services in all these verticals. There are some low margin services, there are some very good margin services. And because of this mix, we are able to see the numbers close to each other from all these verticals.
So margins are fairly similar across the verticals, would be fair to say, except maybe environment, but which is very small.
Yes, more or less, yes.
Okay. And just if you would like to fast forward to the next 2-3 years, where would you see the maximum growth coming from in these verticals, be it pharma, both clinical and clinical, and food and electronics and environment? Just directionally, which would which do you think would grow the fastest?
I think when you look at the market, the growth rates of all these sectors is around 7.5 to around 9%. So given that the numbers are close there, you know, we also think that all these services will grow well, more or less at the same speed, but some services occupy a large portion of our pie. Maybe smaller percentages for those bigger revenue pies will be bigger growth rate, bigger absolute numbers. Environment, I don't think we will see any great growth rate. But the other three, pharma, food, and electronics, they all should grow well.
Understood. So if the sector is growing at 9% and you've grown quite consistently at 20-25%, what does that mean? Does that mean that you're taking away market share? If you can also talk about the competitive landscape.
Yeah, for some services, probably we are taking away market share from others. But for us, when we are looking at overseas markets, that's new business for us. That is also somebody else's market share. But we would call that new business for us, the overseas business.
So who would typically be your overseas competitors from whom you are gaining market share, and a few players in India that you compete with? That will be my last question.
Given the diversity of services that we have, the competitors are also several. For example, overseas, typically when we are bidding for contract research services, we are competing with our own counterparts in India and maybe some European and American CROs. When you talk about food testing, the growth is coming mostly, for us it's actually fully domestic. So some of it is of course coming from the growth of the market, some of it is coming from the market share of maybe our other competitors.
Can you name a few competitors in India that you usually come up with against in pharma and food?
In food, you have all the multinationals here in India, whether it is SGS or Eurofins or Intertech or Bureau Veritas or Tecna, all these companies are there. In pharma,
a lot of them. There is SGS, there is Eurofins, there is Catalent. You have Charles River. So for each of our segments, we have multiple competitors in that area.
Okay. And this is it's mostly foreign companies, foreign consultants in India.
For food, a lot of European companies which are there in India, they are off competition. And then you have some domestic. But in pharma, you have domestic as well as when you go outside, then these are the international competitors.
Thank you. I'll fall back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Dhwanil from iWealth Fund. Please go ahead.
Good evening, ma'am, and thank you so much for the opportunity and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible.
Ma'am, just wanted to check on the capex part. I think earlier last call we were guiding for 100 crore capex in this year, and then in the first half we've already spent 45 to 50 odd crores. So for the full year, for the current full year, 100 crore is our target, or do you think we'll exceed that now?
I don't think we will exceed, but looks like we are on as per the plan.
Got it. And then just on the overall tariff side, I think last when we were having some conversations, so there are a lot of uncertainties which are there. So if you can just help us understand how is the current scenario, And how are you seeing demand for us?
Constraints in terms of market opportunities, we don't see, and anyway we are expanding our global reach. So not a challenge at this situation. At least for our pharmaceutical line of businesses. For some of the budding businesses, yes, we have to still increase our visibility and make our mark mainly for the electrical electronic business. But we are doing good in that area. We have already doubled our capacity as we mentioned last time also. So there's positive signs coming from multiple industries who need the electrical and electronic support services that we have.
Got it, sir. So sir, the new facility which has come up is more on the food and the electronic side of it. And
so we have Go ahead, complete.
Yeah, so sir, I just wanted to understand, and on the pharma side, we've kind of got a lot of machines, but slowly we are going to run that up, if my understanding is correct.
So the capacity increase is for all the verticals. We have increased our capacity in food. We have increased our capacity for electrical electronics. There is increased capacity for preclinical. Because of some of the divisions moving out of the main facility, we have also created more capacities for GMP testing, for biopharma testing. So it's an overall capacity increase for all our major verticals. And as such, there is no constraint in terms of machinery or in terms of space.
Okay, and so sir, we were highlighting that the newer machines and the revenue we are expecting to come from first quarter FY27. So that is more on the biologic side of the business?
Yeah, on the biopharma side of the business, yes.
On the biopharma?
On the new service areas, the formulation development kind of service areas, not the existing, because you also have an existing line of services for the biopharma as well as the large molecule segment. So that's going to continue to, that's doing well and it will continue to grow.
God bless you, sir. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Pravesh Kochar from Four Lion Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. So now that the BioSecure Act is passed and it's, you know, in a slightly diluted form than what was expected, let's say a year back, as you do your business development efforts globally, what are you hearing from some of those MNC customers in terms of where they are at, in terms of, you know, outsourcing their CRO operations to you?
We have already seeing a lot of companies setting up shops in Hyderabad or in India. It is the top five or top six of the biotech, the large molecule guys. Merck has announced, Sanofi has announced, Amgen has announced, Lilly has announced, Johnson & Johnson. Others may also be following up, GSK and maybe the other European companies also. So there, some of them are working with the Indian partners who set up manufacturing operations here. Some of them are setting a global capacity or clinical centers. So that's what is happening. There's no direct news from any of these companies. And we have started working with some of them. We have already engaged with one major company. We are also in discussions with one more. So I think as we wait and watch, once the manufacturing starts, then the requirement for CRO will increase.
And do these companies have any plans of doing the analytical testing also in-house, or is there some regulatory requirement that it has to be done independently, whether it's through you or one of your competitors?
Usually, if you look at MNCs or these innovators, these are all mainly innovators. So they tend not to have testing and their own site. So because they'll be working with third-party vendor for manufacturing, so the demand for analytical services, the independent analytical services would definitely be there, which is a positive for us.
Got it. Our analytical segment, is it fair to say the tests that you do would largely go to the CMC section of the regulatory drug filings that these innovators do, or is it more diversified across the development cycle? Like, if you can give some more color, where analytical testing is really used for the innovators.
It is towards both. We support part of the R&D and development programs and also into the CMC records. So it goes into both. Some of our services are for research during development, and some of our services are during the discovery phase, and some are during the CMC filing phase, the release phase.
Got it. And on the clinical research segment, if you can give us a sense of active, you know, trials that you are having right now in the the patient population, not the healthy population, and how that has been scaling up over the last 2-3 years.
So we have already completed one trial successfully. That was our first pilot, full-scale trial, and that has been also submitted to the European agencies. We have initiated two more now this year. Order books look good, sir. Pipelines are good, and because it's a new business, I think the proof was in delivering the first project, and it has got good feedback from the clients. From the client for whom we did the study. And as I said, two studies we have already initiated. We have also intensified our BD operations for supporting the clinical trial business. And India as such, I think, even if you look at the competitive landscape, independent or standalone clinical trial business, who are doing patient PK studies, I mean, there's a good growth in their business as well. So, yeah, so it would be a good business to grow.
Got it. If I can squeeze just one last one on the biologic CDMO facilities that you are setting up, I just want to understand the driver of it. Did our customers ask that we backward integrate into formulations, or what was the thought process versus just, you know, sticking to pharma analytics, which we have already been doing for about 8 years, as you said?
The push for supporting this formulation development has always been there, mainly on the small molecule side, but we never ventured into that area. In this one, yes, it is an integration that we are doing because there's a lot of demand in the market for supporting the peptide developments or biologics, biosimilars development. And there's a lot of space also available, even for companies who are just venturing in. They want support in cell line development, they want developing product development, they want to outsource these activities. What was happening in small molecule, now it has, the trend has come to the large molecule space as well. So it was the right time to get into development services, and that was the reason we ventured into the biopharma or large molecule support. So it completes the whole cycle. This is the first time we are getting into formulation development, and the right time, because we have already 6-7 years of experience doing analytical support services for large molecule. We see the demand growing, we see the products growing, more and more products are getting added, more and more products are getting off patent. So companies want to have a bigger pipeline, and the outsourcing is definitely increasing in this space, the development support space.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Veer Vadera from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
My all questions were answered. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Ramachandra Golkindi from an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Can you hear me?
You're audible,
sir. Yes. So my question is on the electronic testing. So last quarter, I remember that you were telling you had some discussions going on with the defense. Is there any update on any orders or anything on that one?
We have been supporting defense industries for now more than two and a half years. So it's a continuous
okay.
work. We are adding more and more clients in that area.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And typically, what, how is the margin profile different from your normal electronic testing here in defense?
From the other businesses versus electrical electronics?
For the defense, just on the defense side, how is their margin profile there when compared to other electronic testing? This one.
I may not have that information, but I think it's in general the same across industry because it's a niche testing area. So the margins are same across because we are not into any tender business.
Okay, okay. Sir, and my second question is on your this one. Since your large revenue comes from pharmaceutical, so can you tell me about how it's like the order pipeline, whether it's largely more from the innovator side or is it the other way CMC that is coming, you are giving you a lot of revenue?
So most of our businesses in the pharmaceutical area, we support the generic development. So there, the generic pipelines are definitely stronger. Okay. Preclinical is the area where we support discovery. And there it is, we can say 60-40 or 65-35, 35 towards discovery and 60% towards specialty chemicals and regular CMC as well as regulatory business.
Okay. Sir, my last question is on the industry. So when we look at industry, a lot number of biotech companies and innovator companies are now focusing on the large molecule discoveries and innovation. So is your company also moving towards that one only in the long-term strategy that you also want to move towards large molecules only going ahead? Or do more of research, or do more of research and testing towards the large molecules only?
Definitely, because we don't want to miss the bus on large molecules, and that's why the development setup that we have put, that is to support both the new biological development as well as the generic biological development. And anyway, we have research platforms set up for preclinical, clinical, and also part of our analytical services.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Sashank Chaudhary, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. Congratulations on good set of numbers. So my first question is there any improvement in testing facilities in your site? So in my perspective, are there any expansion in testing quality and speed, and are using any type of new technology in testing in pharmaceuticals or food or in electronics as well?
So, I mean, it's deployment of the latest technologies which are available in the market. So, we are always, we always keep an eye out wherever we can deploy such technologies or set equipment which would fasten the testing process, reduce the dependency on people. So that's a continuous evolution which happens by the instrumentation manufacturers and then deployment or implementation of those in our general work.
Okay.
So we have multiple systems. So there could be some liquid handling systems. There could be higher throughput equipments which may come in. Right. So yeah, at every stage, we are always on lookout for such technologies. And Vimta has always been an early adapter for any such initiative.
Thank you. My second question is there any other ideas to expand other than CMO?
CMO is the new expansion. We are a CRO, CRTO. CMO is the new vertical that we have come up as of now. And then maybe look out for any inorganic growth opportunities, which has always been our pursuit. I think good, maybe either in Europe or US.
Okay. So my final question is, are there any PAT margin improvements in future or is it going to remain at 19%?
Can you take this, CFO?
These are very good margin. We don't expect to see higher ones than this.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Anand Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. My question is more fundamental in nature and pardon me if I sound a little naive. Right, but why would an innovator company go to Vimta Labs for their testing and not go to like a SciLife or an Anthem Bio which provides end-to-end services from testing to manufacturing, right? So what is the value proposition that you bring to the table?
You know, just by the word innovation, they're very, very secretive about their product development, right? Because it's a competitive world out there. So even when they're developing products, a single product gets developed in 20 different places, even it's a simple API. So it's by nature of that industry that they don't want to keep everything in one place. What usually happens in SAIs or Anthems and all, the work that you are talking about is the initial screening process. So screening process where, because these companies are also doing a lot of chemistry, they are giving out a lot of molecules every week, every month. So the initial screening, they would keep it there. But after that, once it moves to a product phase or at a development phase, then the work gets distributed. That's a common trend in the innovative list.
Sure. Thank you so much. I'll call back in line. Thank you for the information.
Sure.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Sanket Gupta, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have a question regarding the food testing. According to me, the food testing industry is very small compared to developed countries. And I think Indian consumers are becoming more and more aware about the food quality and labels and all that. So do you think that this industry can grow faster if government agencies will push for more regulations and stricter guidelines?
Definitely. If you have government on your side, I mean, it's definitely going to increase for everyone.
And
if you look at the food industry, the Food Safety Standards Act, I mean, that's a move in the positive direction.
Okay. And if any company is developing new products, like that the Indian consumers are getting more aware about protein and all that sugar in the products. So do you think that if new products are getting developed, then this will also create a better opportunity?
Definitely, definitely. Because when see bigger companies, they would invest in, but a lot of virtual companies which keep coming up, smaller companies, either in the food segment or in the pharma segment, they need a lot of support in the product development. And when they're getting into these niche areas or newer areas, the right way to do is to take support from CROs who can give them outside support.
Okay, that means my understanding is correct that this will push the industry to good growth and all.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments.
Thank you. So thank you once again to all the participants who have joined this call today. Good questions, appreciate them. I also want to thank Systematics Institutional Equity, Vishal Manchanda, for hosting this call. Have a good evening, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Systematics Institutional Equity, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.